Saint Nicholas, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, I must wish you a happy feast day today, because today is the feast day of the patron saint of children, Saint Nicholas. Today is also the feast day of Santa Claus, and I'll tell you why. Saint Nicholas, you see his picture there. If you look closely, you see a child on one side looking up at him, and then you see three little boys. Two are in a tub, and the other is kissing the foot of Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas worked many miracles in his life, and that is why he's the patron saint not only of children and of Christmas, but he's also the patron saint of sailors and of soldiers and of those who were accused and are in prison. And he's the patron saint of young ladies who are looking to get married, amongst other intentions. He has many, many under his care. He's a very great miracle-working saint. Indeed, if you want to understand about Saint Nicholas, you would think, well, at one time, when a certain bishop who was the Patriarch of Constantinople, which was the capital of the whole empire, wrote his life. At one time, after people got reading about how wonderful St. Nicholas was, everybody prayed to him, and there were many churches dedicated to him and holy pictures called icons made of him. And he was a bit like St. Anthony of Padua or St. Therese of Lisieux. He was a miracle worker, and everybody knew about him and loved him. And he ends up in our world, honored still today, but in disguise. The thing of it is, you have to see through the disguise, that's often true in life, children, and recognize the saint beneath the disguise. His name is Santa Claus in our culture, and that comes from the Dutch name Sinterklaas. It's a Dutch dialect. See, the Dutch were some of the settlers of what became New York, which they called New Amsterdam, Amsterdam being the capital of Holland. And even though not all but most of the Dutch did become Protestants, and Protestants usually back then didn't want to have anything to do with the saints or the Catholic Church or miracles or beautiful stories or anything like that, nevertheless, the children loved Saint Nicholas. And so it was almost as though they reached an agreement with their parents, saying, all right, you can be Protestants and throw out the Blessed Mother and the statues and the Mass and everything, but you have to let us still have St. Nicholas. And the parents, who were very indulgent, said, all right, we'll keep St. Nicholas. And so keep him they did, and they brought him to the New World. So actually, Santa Claus is just Dutch for saying St. Nicholas. And that's how he became the patron saint of Christmas, who brings toys and gifts to children. Even the way Santa Claus looks, if you look at him closely, is that he wears red. And what's red? It's the bishop's color, isn't it? I'm not wearing any fur. I think I probably could use a little fur on a day like this, but historically and traditionally, the bishop of the diocese got to wear some fur to keep him warm in his cathedral church. And that's why St. Nicholas sometimes is shown with fur as around him, as well as the red. And then, of course, he has a beard. And that's all the attributes or the garments that were worn by this bishop, who lived a long time ago, just at the end of the persecutions, in the country which today we call Turkey, which is on one side of the Mediterranean basin, not that far from the Holy Land. Now, why do we associate St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, with passing out gifts and visiting children and seeing if they've been good or bad and all of the rest? Well, St. Nicholas got his start, they say, when he was a wealthy, very pious young man who heard about a father who was a nobleman, and as sometimes happened, the nobleman, although he had a fancy castle and a title, nevertheless had run out of money. He was living in what was known as genteel poverty. And back then, and for many, many centuries until really modern times, if a girl wanted to get married, she had to have two things. She had to have her parents' permission, and the parents usually would arrange the marriage. And they still do that in some countries in the Middle East, for example. And secondly, she had to have what's called a dowry. A dowry was a gift. the gift that the bride's father would give to the father of the groom. And if there wasn't a dowry, sometimes in land or animals, or sometimes in money, why then the girl couldn't get married. And it was a very sad state all the way all around. St. Nicholas heard about a father who couldn't come up with a dowry for his three daughters, and he was afraid they would end up leading a sinful life, living with someone without getting married, which is against God's law, the sixth commandment. And so, secretly, at night, without anybody knowing about it, the story is that he stole up to the house or the castle and through one of the open windows. Really, they didn't have windows back then anyway, so if there was a window, it would have been open pretty much. Through one of the open windows, he threw in, plop, a bag of gold. And the gold is said to have landed in one of the stockings of one of the daughters, which she had hung up by her bedside. And that's why we have stockings at Christmas time that we hang over the fireplace, theoretically. Well, St. Nicholas was a very good aim, and the gold fell in the stocking. The first girl had her dowry, and then they say he did it a second and a third time because he wanted to take care of all three girls. Well, by the third time, the nobleman, the father, was wondering, who's giving us bags of gold? It's very nice, but I wonder who it could be. And so he lay waiting in the bushes of the moat or something like that. And when, sure enough, a dark stranger rode up to the house and plopped something through the window, he ran after him. And St. Nicholas was young, so he ran faster. But eventually he was caught. And when the nobleman found out who it was, he tried to do what the boy in this picture is doing, kiss the foot of St. Nicholas out of gratitude, humble gratitude. He couldn't believe he just did such a wonderful favor for his family. He didn't even know him, but he did it for love of Jesus Christ, love of our blessed Lord. And he did three in honor of the Trinity, because St. Nicholas lived at a time when there was a wicked priest who was getting people not really to believe in the Blessed Trinity. They were called the Arian heretics, and St. Nicholas and some of the others suffered to teach and to hold on to the true faith, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So God worked it that whenever St. Nicholas worked a miracle, he always did it in threes to remind us of the Blessed Trinity. Well, back to the story. The man was trying to kiss the foot of St. Nicholas, as that little boy is, and he was told by St. Nicholas, oh, don't kiss my feet. I'm just doing it because I love our Lord. You go kiss the crucifix in church. That would be just fine instead. So I think he did. Well, the man, before he left, St. Nicholas, was made by the saint to promise. He said, now don't tell anybody. He wanted it a secret. And usually, when you do the best things in life, children, you don't expect to be thanked, and you don't want your name to be known. You just do it out of love for God. That's the secret of secret giving. You know, sometimes they have a secret Kris Kringle or a secret Christmas gift exchange, and that's a good way to do it, because we're not supposed to be thanked or appreciated. We just do it out of love for our Lord, because he gave us the best of all gift. He created us in the image of the adorable Trinity, and he redeemed us. And he comes to our soul by sanctifying grace. And at the end of our lives, he gives us the gift of coming home with him to the Trinity for all eternity. Those are the gifts God gives us, and that's why we have to be generous with each other and not expect to be thanked or have our feet kissed or anything like that. That's always how St. Nicholas was. So I'm thinking today, probably St. Nicholas wouldn't mind if he got disguised as Santa Claus, and if lots of children never even knew who he was and even mistook him for some kind of a Norse elf or something along those lines, because St. Nicholas was so humble, like the baby Jesus. He just wanted to do good and not be known or thanked. Now, the story of the three little boys is that when St. Nicholas was on his way to the great Council of Nicaea to proclaim the true faith of the Trinity and Christ's divinity, that he stopped at an inn, and they were having a terrible, terrible famine in this country. And St. Nicholas was wondering why they had meat on the menu, because most people didn't have any food to eat at all. And he got suspicious, and he did a little sniffing and checking around. And sure enough, the innkeeper had some boys in a tub of brine downstairs and was serving them up for supper, which was a terrible thing to do to boys or to anyone else. And so St. Nicholas put a stop to that, and furthermore, St. Nicholas raised the three boys back to life. And so that's the little picture that we have there. Those are just some of the miracles that this great saint who loved children very much, because he was humble, and the children have to be humble too, like the baby Jesus, and he loved the adorable Trinity and worked so many miracles. Today, let's honor St. Nicholas by doing a good deed for love of Jesus Christ without expecting to be thanked. St. Nicholas, patron of children, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.